Welcome to The Backbone, a journey inside finance at a startup. I'm your host, Shubham Datta, at Shubham on Twitter. On The Backbone, we're obsessed with finance and operations at startups. We take a close look at finance functions within various startup companies by talking to finance leaders that are in there day in and day out. We chat startup finance, metrics, operations, and everything in between. On this episode, I chat with Frank Jessup, Director of Finance at Sensible, a company that powers banks with best-in-class receipt management solutions. Frank joined the company in March 2016. Prior to joining Sensible, Frank managed the emerging company services practice at PwC, providing financial consulting services to high-growth startups in Toronto. Frank also sits on the board of Maple Leaf Angels, a not-for-profit angel group connecting experienced investors with great entrepreneurs. Frank holds a Bachelor of Mathematics degree from the University of Waterloo and is a chartered financial analyst as well as a chartered accountant. So, without further ado, let's hear from Frank Jessup, Director of Finance at Sensible. Frank, thanks again for coming on The Backbone and chatting with me. I want to get started right away. And so talk to me about your path into tech and how you got started with Sensible.
Sure, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I studied mathematics at University of Waterloo in their co-op program. So yeah, great university, great co-op program. And as part of the math program, they kind of force you into some IT classes and computer science right at the beginning of your degree. And I used that to get an IT job at PricewaterhouseCoopers in their IT department doing some programming. And then even though that was not really my interest, but I ended up using that, really liked working for the firm, used that experience to transfer over into their assurance practice and specifically in their tech and entertainment space.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, from the beginning was working with large and small tech entertainment clients. And went back, finished my degree, did my business classes at Laurier to ensure I was able to get my CA designation. And then basically the rest is history. From day one, I was under a great mentor, a previous guest of your podcast, Eugene Bomba. So he was...
Yes, nice.
Yeah, so he was a manager of mine, and his career developed quickly as he became a partner and led the emerging company services practice at PwC. And so I managed all the clients there and really loved the startup space. And as he left the firm, I wanted to as well.
That's awesome. So so you spent, you know, your time at Waterloo, and then from Waterloo you were at PwC.
Yep.
After PwC, now you're at Sensible. Mm-hmm. And so talk to me a little bit about what Sensible is and what you guys do at Sensible.
Sure. So Sensible is a fintech startup here in Toronto. We integrate receipt management into digital banking applications. Essentially, we partner with financial institutions to allow their customers to manage their receipts. So customers have their digital receipts and they can use this, and it's part of their banking apps, and they use this for returns, taxes, warranties, and expense management. And also can have better insight into their spending patterns because we have item level data from the receipts. And that item level data also provides the financial institution more opportunities to engage with their customers because they have better insight into their customers.
Got it. So is it, does it have to be a digital receipt? Like, or can I like scan in my, like, let's say, so I bank with Scotia.
Great.
And so if I were to scan in my receipt, does it have to be a digital receipt? Like, how does that part work?
So you use your phone to take a photo. We have the OCR technology that reads the paper receipt.
Got it.
And then digitize it. You can also forward any digital receipts, like for your Uber receipts, for example, or you can allow the software to scan your emails for receipts, and then that'll just be pushed into your Scotiabank app, and you can, you know, you see your Visa transactions and you click on one and the receipt's there, and you know, there's lots of functionalities from there. So
got it. So I guess as a consumer using the bank's app, I don't know that it's Sensible, or like, do I have to install a Sensible app?
No, it is. So it's a, we're a white label solution.
Got it.
We make it look and feel, and it's just, so you should be using it right now because we're partnering with Scotiabank. So, so if you click on, you know, the left toolbar, you'll see e-receipts as an option, and you can sign up to have an email at Scotia Receipts where you can forward those Uber receipts, for example. So we allow the, it's similar to like the check capture service that kind of white label are offering. Yeah.
Nice. So you guys are kind of in the background, like powering this technology. And
exactly. And that's our sort of distribution strategy, is to partner with these large financial institutions. And now all of a sudden we have access to millions of customers when we turn on one large bank.
Right, right. So speaking of large banks and, you know, things large in general, you guys recently raised a $17 million Series A, by far one of the largest Series A rounds in recent memory. So we often hear in fintech, and Sensible, like you said, is a fintech startup, it's a kind of a go big or go home type mentality. So talk to me about how this round came together, the Series A, and the thinking behind this kind of abnormally large Series A round.
Sure. So yeah, it was quite the, it was a large road, I would say, as well, to get to the to get to the finish line. So I definitely sort of underestimated. It was obviously, this was my first time going through this process, having just joined Sensible a little year ago, and so I think myself, as well as the rest of the management team, we kind of underestimated the time and effort, and probably walked into the process a bit overconfident. So that was interesting. And then, so we started the process about, I would say summer of last year, you know, drafting some pitch decks, coming up with a list of potential investors to partner with, and pulling together a data room, you know, and then in September, my CEO started the initial roadshow of meeting with investors. And then it was just like a lot of back and forth with potential investors, right. Lots of ups and downs. You know, we were aiming to have everything closed by the end of 2016. But you know, the way things ended, it was Q1 of 17. So things just, you know, lots of, you know, wrenches thrown in here and there. So, it was, you know, a long process, but you know, we were super pleased with the way it turned out. And then I guess in terms of like the amount, you know, 17 million seems, it is a large amount, but we are a company of 50 people, and you know, so it costs thousands of dollars just every hour to operate, and we're in it for the long game. So 17 million, you know, it's going to last us a couple of years, and the reason we need to have that security, because we're selling into enterprise, and it's a hugely long cycle compared to a lot of, you know, any consumer application, for example. So so we need to provide that assurance that we're in it for the long game. We're going to be here, and we need to kind of have that support. So we need that money to, you know, increase our global footprint, to go after other markets outside of, you know, North America, and you know, ensure we have the best product by hiring and retaining top talent.
Makes a lot of sense. So I want to ask a follow-up to that. So you mentioned that you were trying to get the fundraising lined up by end of 2016, but it ended up dragging on a bit longer. So then when you started the process, and you mentioned that maybe you guys were a little overconfident going in, did you have that runway to play with, or how did you think about, hey, like, we need to close this kind of ASAP, or was there ever that kind of feeling?
I definitely felt it towards the end. As the finance leader, I was getting a little scared. I was definitely holding off paying certain vendors that were less important to me.
Hopefully they're not listening to this podcast.
Yeah. You know, we had sufficient runway, and we had backup plans. So, you know, there were, you know, I lined up a few loans and things like that, should we need them to just last a couple more months. We were confident that we were going to settle something. It was just settling the terms with the right investors. And, you know, we gave ourselves at least, you know, 6 to 9 months runway. But for my sanity, next time, you know, I want a year.
Yeah, better longer than shorter.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, you said that the Series A was your kind of first round that you went through it personally. Mm-hmm. And so how would you say your role has changed as a finance leader now that you're venture backed? Because obviously, like, raising that process is a challenge in itself. Yeah. And then so you go from a company with, you know, a very small or no venture backing to now having raised this institutional round with institutional investors and funding and being venture backed. And so how has that kind of changed your role as the finance leader of that company?
So I joined Sensible a little over a year ago, and the company's just come so far since then. We were less than 25 people when I joined. We're over 50 now, and there was a lack of sophistication, especially in the finance group, where there was, mm-hmm. you know, a bookkeeper that would come in once a month, essentially. And so my first 6 to 8 months was a lot of cleanup, you know, getting the finance function organized and putting in some proper processes in place, and really just focusing on accounting, controller type work. Mm-hmm. And so now there's an opportunity to farm out a lot of that work, because the processes are in place and we have the money to, you know, spend on contracting and hiring help.
Sure.
And there's a lot more expectations, obviously, from our investors to add that sophistication. And so now my role has changed a lot more into the financial planning and analysis, mm-hmm. to support the reporting requirements and the requirements of the other business units in terms of the information
right.
they need.
And making sure that the investors get the right information that they want to make sure their money is being put to good use and all of that great
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Right, right. And so a little follow-up to that question of being venture-backed. Other than having that money in the bank, has being venture-backed helped you in other ways? For instance, like recruiting or sales, and just in general, having that people know that, you know, you guys are venture-backed, you guys have raised some money. Has that helped in any other ways?
Absolutely. The announcement, I think, went out March 1st. And it just gave us a lot of press. All of a sudden, we were everyone's best friend and the coolest kid. The amount of sales calls I got in the first month, I just couldn't believe. I was like, where are you getting my phone number? I don't even understand. Like, every software company is trying to sell us something. So, you know, so obviously there's that side of us just being, you know,
right.
all of a sudden we're thrown into the spotlight, which mm-hmm. is great. But more importantly, it just... having our customers, both potential customers and our current customers, see that we have this support and this runway was great, and as well as for our employees. So it definitely helps from our current employees and our mm-hmm. and from a recruiting standpoint, providing that comfort that, you know, we're going to be here for a while.
Right, right, and that sense of security as well, and totally. Especially since. Yeah, since you mentioned that you're dealing with, you know, large financial institutions, they want to know that if they integrate with you and start using your technology, mm-hmm. you're not going to disappear tomorrow.
Yeah, and absolutely. And you know, when you're partnering with financial institutions, they do their due diligence on you. And so mm-hmm. they get some comfort there. But from an employee perspective, they don't really necessarily see the, you know, financial workings of the company. And so they're
right.
a bit blind from that perspective. So having that announcement and us able to publicly talk about it with everyone, you know, gives a lot of comfort.
Nice. And so last question here before we hop into a quick fire round. And so in your opinion, what is the importance of the finance function at an early stage technology company like Sensible?
So I guess, you know, you're essentially running the back office, and you need to provide the support to each of the business units to allow them to operate as efficiently and effectively as possible. So it's important that the finance leader gets involved in all areas of the business to be able to provide that connection between the business units.
Got it. And so you touched on this briefly when you were talking about your role changing. And so as the first person who comes into a finance role, you mentioned that a lot of it was just making sure the controls and things are in place. So is it safe to say that the first person that comes in usually has to make sure whatever's kind of happened before they got there is now up to snuff, and then they can start looking at the future. Is that a fair statement to make?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I would have loved if I started, you know, 6 months earlier, for example. You know, I actually, we just finished our first year audit this week for 2016. And so I was not there from, you know, the first few months of 2016. And, you know, I obviously had to like take responsibility of it. But certain things I was like, I have no idea what that bookkeeper was thinking.
Well, now it's on you. So
exactly. I can't really blame it on him. So
Yeah, got it. And so it's coming in, making sure that everything, because you have to own it, right? And so exactly. You come in and you have to kind of make sure that everything that's happened while that whoever steps into that role, make sure that they're comfortable with everything that has gone on in the past. And then once you're comfortable with that, with the historicals, you can kind of project forward, you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what I'd like to do now is hop into a quick fire round. And the way this works is I'll ask you a couple of questions and you'll have 10 or 15 seconds to respond to each. How does that sound?
Cool. Sounds good.
All right. So let's do it. So what's your go-to online resource for all things startup finance related?
I would say I'm part of a finance club. That's a group of Toronto startup finance leaders. And so we have a Slack group. We get together once a month, but we also have a Slack group. And that's, you know, when I need questions or advice, that's generally where I go to.
Cool. And so what's your favorite productivity hack?
Sleeping.
I have not heard that one before, but so I'll let you expand on it. I'll let you take a bit more than 10 to 15.
If I get my 8 hours of sleep and I get to go to CrossFit in the morning, I can have generally like a super productive day, take a bit of work home, and then, you know, get exactly what I need. And then if I can continue that, that's generally my most productive weeks.
Awesome. Nice. So you need your 8 hours and then you need the CrossFit in the morning and then you're ready to go. Cool. That's really interesting. And one last one. So one thing that you don't leave the office before finishing, I know you mentioned that sometimes you may take some work home with you, but what's one thing that, you know, you have to get done, maybe even like before you get your 8 hours of sleep for the next day?
I was thinking, I don't know, I always like to finish my lunch. No, I mean, I guess I have certain tasks. I was like, okay, I'm here for, you know, it's 8 hours today before I go home or something like that. And I, you know, I have a to-do list. I'm super into to-do lists, and I highlight which ones I was like, I have to get done today. So I'm not leaving before that. But like, you know, I do like to work an hour or two at home. So I'm not, you know, too strict with myself on that.
Fair enough. Well, thanks again, Frank. Really appreciate your time and chatting with us about, you know, Sensible's round and what you guys really had to kind of go through to get there and how your role has changed, both as a finance leader and even just being venture-backed, how that's changed the perspective of the market and customers and people involved as they think about Sensible. So thank you so much, Frank.
It's been great. Thanks.